This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. Tonight, international, Thanksgiving versus chaotic events. London, the foreign ministers versus each other. Hollywood, another American deed of derring do. New York, the vegetarians' Thanksgiving. Special report, a cockeyed silhouette. Now a brief message from Tom Moore.
Say, friends, haven't you really enjoyed the holiday today? Wasn't it fun getting together again and catching up on a lot of talk? And what a meal. Fit for a king, with turkey and all the good things that go with it. Now, I don't like to have to remind you, but for most of us, tomorrow's a work day, which means you ought to feel like working. But if you had a little too much of those good things to eat, and if you happen to forget and stay up too late tonight, you might wake up with an acid stomach upset or a headache tomorrow morning, or maybe even both. Of course, that's the time to call on the ready relief that can be yours from Alka-Seltzer. Yes, if you do happen to have a headache or an acid-upset stomach tomorrow morning, just pop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, watch it sparkle, listen to it fizz, then drink it down. See what quick work Alka-Seltzer can make of that distress, how it sends you to work feeling the way you ought to feel. Always keep your home well stocked with Alka-Seltzer. Keep an extra 30 or 60 cent size package on hand. Then when your tablets get down to four, with an extra package, you'll have some more. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
News is like many another basic ingredient of civilization. It assumes various forms, just as steel may become an automobile or a rifle or a bronchoscope. News tonight starts with the notes of a sermon delivered to the President of the United States and the congregation of the First Baptist Church in Washington, delivered by the Reverend Edward Hughes Pruden. From his original notes now before us, we take the text of Dr. Pruden's sermon, Psalms 34, first verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Reverend Mr. Pruden told the President that this was not the philosophy of an incurable optimist, nor yet a hopeless sentimentalist, but a wise man who weighed carefully and uttered a declaration of policy, a declaration of perpetual thanksgiving. But with it, the wise man calculated that God's love expresses often itself in fatherly discipline. Around the world today, the news reflects a hard discipline upon the people. In London, the Council of Foreign Ministers tries desperately to achieve a basis for peace. That story we'll get straight from London in a few moments. But as they worked, these foreign ministers, their government spoke in alien terms through news events that hardly seem accidental. In France, the communist-controlled Federation of Labor has called out 1.25 million French workers out of her 6 million, and not a striking union among them will listen to government proposals to go back to work. The French government has, with dramatic suddenness, pointed a finger at Moscow, not with mere paper charges, but by direct action. 19 Soviet citizens in France have been deported for taking too active a part in French internal affairs. Today, the Soviet government, stung to the quick, demanded that the French government produce the missing 19 without delay at the Soviet embassy in Paris. Supposedly, that's quite impossible now, because the 19 are believed to be in Berlin. And the French answer has been more action. The Cannes police announced the arrest of General Vladimir Postovsky of the Soviet Patriotic Union. Thus it is that communism tries to prove France wants revolution and a communistic government, while the French government tries to prove that the Soviets themselves are stirring up the trouble. And in Italy today, a band of youngsters destroyed newspapers in the suburbs and forced readers to give up their papers at the end of a club. Presumably, that's retaliation for a bomb that fell in the Rome communist paper newspaper plant earlier this week. In Germany, the communist-controlled Socialist Union Party in the Russian zone announced a People's Congress for next week, as they put it, to elect a delegation to appear before the big four foreign ministers. Immediately, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats in the American and British zones reported they would not attend, and even the Christian Democrats in the Russian zone turned down the proposition cold. Thus, governments and ideas express themselves not in freewheeling progress, but through needled propaganda. It's a kind of a discipline that seems hardly worthy of the best efforts of men anywhere in the world on this Thanksgiving Day. The Reverend Mr. Pruden's text seems the only logical explanation. Discipline does indeed put to a severe test a state of perpetual thanksgiving, and also puts to a test the ability of Americans and their political leaders to see clearly the meaning of events. And we have conflicting advice from elders. Tonight, the magazine Reserve Officer prints an article by an Estonian former army officer who's fought both with and against the Red Army. He says, the Soviet Army is not invincible. That's a great illusion. But the Soviet Union is trying to create an invincible force, and the moment Russia feels assured of victory, she will strike. On the other hand, many, many Americans are more concerned right now about the effect of what we do in a chaotic world on our own lives. Senator Wherry, the Republican whip, expressed their thoughts accurately today. I foresee the possibility, he said, of bread shortages in the United States if the emergency aid program for Europe should put too heavy a drain on domestic supplies. A discipline is surely on us. And now, for more reasons why a discipline is on us, here's Leon Pearson in London.
Something very strange has happened here in London today. The foreign ministers discussed the urgent necessity of forming a German government and giving it a voice in making the Treaty of Peace. That's the headline. That's the lead which practically every story out of London will carry tonight. The stories will tell how Molotov urged the establishment of a German government and Marshall agreed with him. Everybody is going to get the impression that the foreign ministers of the two great powers, who have been so long at loggerheads, have reached a surprising agreement on a surprising subject. In fact, I have learned that the French foreign minister, Mr. Bidault, has requested an interview with Mr. Marshall tomorrow morning to ask what he means by this agreement with Mr. Molotov. I think I can tell you what Mr. Marshall will say. He will tell Mr. Bidault that there is no change whatever in the American position since the Moscow conference. We have said all along there must be a German government, but just now we are competing with the Soviets in making statements which will please the German people. So Mr. Marshall wanted to tell the world, and especially the Germans, that Mr. Molotov is not the only one advocating the prompt establishment of a German government. In fact, I have learned from General Clay late this evening that there is no change whatsoever in the American position. And yet I dare say Mr. Bidault will not be entirely reassured because the French are the only power who want to postpone that government as long as possible. In any case, today's atmosphere of thank you, Mr. Molotov, and thank you, Mr. Marshall, will probably evaporate by tomorrow, but it did make a sort of diplomatic observance of Thanksgiving Day. This is Leon Pearson in London.
One phase of America's position in the world can be expressed today in terms of daring do. We have often dared much. Two of our citizens have completed a task of that kind that they set for themselves. Here's John Storm in Hollywood.
We return you to Washington.
Last night in their small Piper Cubs at a nearby airport after an unprecedented west-east flight around the world. With me in this studio is the younger of this daring pair, 27-year-old Clifford Evans, who is mighty glad to be back in America again after a series of 47 hops over a period of 109 days spanning both the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. Tell us, Mr. Evans, was it pioneering or adventure that caused you to attempt your great round-the-world flight?
It was really a combination of both. We wanted to prove that intercontinental flying was both safe and sensible. We Americans don't realize how easy it is to go from country to country in Europe. In 2 hours from most anywhere there, you can be in another, entirely different country. But we enjoyed the adventure part of the trip, too.
Did you have any rough or grim experiences?
Yes, we had our uneasy moments. The flight yesterday, 1,343 miles in a single hop from Lethbridge, Alberta, to Van Nuys, California. That was rough because we were overloaded and had to fly at 8,500 feet. Every downdraft threatened to put us into the overcast, and with mountains below us, that wasn't good. Those clouds were full of rocks and ice.
Well, you found this last leg worse, then, than flying over the Atlantic or Pacific?
Not worse, exactly, but equally as bad and dangerous, except in a different way. Looking down into the cold, cold water of the northern Pacific wasn't fun, that's for sure.
I understand that NBC's own Morgan Beatty christened the planes used by you and Truman.
That's right, and I'd like to thank him once again. He brought us lots of luck.
And we thank you, Mr. Evans. This is John Storm in Hollywood.
It takes all kinds of Americans to celebrate Thanksgiving. One of those kinds is the vegetarian. Here's W.W. Chaplin in New York.
While other Americans were gorging themselves on 100,000 tons or so of turkey today, several hundred New Yorkers held a vegetarian revel. I received an invitation to the annual Thanksgiving Day dinner of the Vegetarian Society of New York. Julius Safran, their president, told me there are about 3 million vegetarians in America, that they're increasing in number, and some member families are two generations removed from meat-eating. Here's their banquet menu, price $2.50. Apple nectar, sweet cider, salad, celery, olives, nuts, raisins, and fruit. One cooked item, baked potatoes, and a hot cereal drink. They could, of course, have had at least cranberry sauce that goes with turkey, but they didn't. It seems there are two kinds of vegetarians. Health vegetarians who think meat is harmful to eat, and vegetarians by conviction who think it's morally wrong to eat meat. Both kinds were at today's dinner, but I was told that some of the conviction vegetarians would probably stop on the way home for at least a cup of real coffee. After this somewhat Spartan repast, there were speeches, folk dances, and music. I attended the vegetarian dinner, but I made my excuses for not partaking. I had to explain that I'd already had my Thanksgiving dinner with turkey and all the fixings. This is W.W. Chaplin in New York.
Now here are three silhouettes of life in today's post-war world. A special report, food for thought on Thanksgiving Day. New York, the Metropolitan Opera management took official note tonight of the off-key photographs made on opening night a few weeks ago. One such photograph, you may remember, displayed a heavily bejeweled matron thumbing her nose at another opera goer. Another portrayed an elderly woman displaying a leg over a table in the opera bar. George Sloan, tonight, the chairman of the board, took note of many protests from friends of opera. In defense, he said 99% came to see the opera, but the management does not pass on the qualifications of those who purchase tickets. We have been asked, he added, to set up controls of photographers. London, 12 former British servicemen who married Russian women while stationed in Russia, but who've been denied the right to bring their wives home, finally got their message over to Foreign Minister V.M. Molotov. Today, they printed huge placards and carried them back and forth in front of the Soviet embassy. They said, these placards, "For Soviet and British consciences, we are the husbands without our Russian wives." For Mr. Molotov's convenience, part of the signs were printed in Russian. Today, his limousine slowed up to give him time to read them, and he acknowledged the plea with a wave of the hand. But the Russian wives do not yet have their exit permits to leave Russia. Frankfurt, Germany, Associated Press reporter James Devlin has interviewed many men and women in the street in Western Germany. He says they're reconciled to having their country cut in two by the Big Four. And that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, they say, and that certainly goes for Alka-Seltzer. For an Alka-Seltzer in hand is worth two in the drugstore, particularly for that occasional touch of acid indigestion. So instead of one package of Alka-Seltzer, buy two, and make it a practice always to keep an extra package on hand. It's good advice. If you heed it, you'll have Alka-Seltzer handy when you need it.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your growing children to take their vitamins this fall? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost, a full 2-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins, good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one a day.
Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Bulletin, Paris. The million government workers of France put an unexpected damper on economic chaos tonight by voting overwhelmingly not to strike tomorrow as they have threatened. They took action a few hours after the new premier, Robert Schuman, had interrupted a communist heckler in the Chamber of Deputies. The premier said, "We will not permit any attack on the right to work. We will punish any act of sabotage. Force will be used if persuasion and authority fail." And while the strike spread tonight to three more key Paris telephone exchanges, the backfire of French impatience is building. Parisians have to cook on stoves with little gas pressure. Others stand in line waiting for buses. That's because of the gas workers' strike and the railway workers' strike. And coal is getting short. Washington. Woody Edmondson, the Lynchburg, Virginia stunt flyer, broke the Havana to Washington flight record today. He made the trip in 3 hours, 15 minutes, 13 seconds. Santa Monica, California. Investigators have developed clues to recent accidents with DC-6 airplanes. They suspect that overflow fuel from a wing tank might have entered the air scoop and ignited against the cabin heater. And that's the news of the world. This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.